Quest for Truth, Episode 284.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts. Oh, come on. Do I really have to read this? They're charming, handsome, and the most wonderful men in the world. Somebody, please shoot me. Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Quest for Truth. This is your host, Keith, and today, at least for now, I'm alone here in Church House Studio. For long-time listeners, you probably know we like to do an audio drama at least once a month, but we're a little behind in getting it.
You can get started now, Keith.
It's David, our Retrobot technician. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the control room.
We work here, remember.
And for nothing, I might add.
Yeah, oh, Callie. I know, but you guys need to get back in the control room. I'm trying to start the show right now, but I need to hear from Nathan Caldwell. He's supposed to send me a...
The control room. The control room. That's all we do around here anymore.
Yeah, Keith. We need to talk to you about that.
We used to co-host on the show, and now we don't get any credit at all.
Now give me a chance here, just because I'm trying to...
Can't you try harder? All we get to do is open the show. Quest for Truth, Episode 284.
Settle down, it's because I'm trying to...
Well, at least you get to have lines at least twice a month, Callie. All I ever get to say is, Truth Exposed, Episode 19. That's it. Just one little line, once a month.
Can you two stop it? Give me a moment to explain why...
And where is Nathan Caldwell?
He's supposed to give me some thoughts on our topic to...
You know that Callie always had a thing for him.
I did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Children, stop it with the bickering.
Well, she likes him better than you.
Hey, I like both Keith and Nathan the same.
Ha.
David, behave.
It's only because you have an anger management issue when it comes to poor old Nathan.
Can we focus on the show today? I've been trying to introduce it, remember?
But we can't have a Quest for Truth episode without Nathan.
Yeah, those solo episodes with only Keith are so boring.
Hey!
No, they are not.
Blah, blah, blah.
Hey, my voice isn't that bad, is it?
Snorefest.
David, you don't have to be so mean all the time.
Thank you, Callie. Can we get back to introducing the show?
Whatever happened to Nathan? He used to be here every week for recording the show.
Look, I sent him a topic for the week. He sends me his pre-recorded audio, and I mix it together with mine.
Hey, what's in here?
Isn't that where Keith keeps his time machine for his other podcast?
Hey, leave that alone.
You mean the one he hasn't posted anything new on for months now?
You're stirring up the dust, stop it.
Remember the last time you messed with that machine, David?
Yeah, Nathan caused the fall of man.
No, he did not.
And we barely escaped the talking donkey.
For new listeners, go back and check out episode 200.
It was a crossover show. David, leave that alone!
Do you mean this little switch here?
David, I mean it. Don't touch those dials. Oh no. This can't turn out well. I wonder where in the world is Nathan Caldwell? Check out this podcast promo while we figure out where we're going. Hey everybody, you may know that the Christian Podcast community features many great shows, and on the shows we try to feature one a week. And the featured show that I should have mentioned last week because I got him out of order was Dedicated by Justin Peters. He mostly does things on YouTube, although he can be found on the Christian Podcast community. Check him out and all the great stuff he does over there on YouTube, giving good sound doctrinal teaching. Let me have those controls. Last time, you ended up breaking up most of the control panel.
And Keith had to salvage parts from me to rebuild the dashboard.
It was all Nathan's fault.
David.
Nathan and his big fat.
David, that's enough.
Whatever. Does anybody know where we are?
You were driving, don't you know?
My circuits detect that we are somewhere over Israel.
That's a start. Do you know where we are in time?
Synchronizing with the time machine circuits.
Showed off.
It's a side effect of having her parts installed into the control panel on the last adventure we had.
It appears that we are around 1900 BC. What was happening in Bible history then?
Look down there. A man is leaving that town with his family.
There are three women with him, and they are being led by
an angel. Seriously, David, you thought we could find Nathan Caldwell here?
Oh my, that one woman just looked back.
She stopped moving, like she is a statue.
She turned into a pillar of salt. For Pete's sake, David, I can't believe you would bring us here.
The man and his family just ducked into that little town.
We need to leave, and right now. Give me those controls back, David.
The sky is changing.
There's no time to waste. Hit the red button.
Isn't the red button always a bad thing?
For emergencies only.
This is an emergency. Just hit it. We've got to get out of here before that burning sulfur starts falling and destroys everything, including us.
It's Sodom and Gomorrah.
David, I still can't believe you thought you'd find Nathan here.
Ha ha ha.
Before we land at our destination.
Here's another great show from the Christian Podcast community.
Hello everyone, Daniel Minnick here. I host a podcast called Truthspresso, and I am inviting you to join in. So what can you expect at Truthspresso? Well, at Truthspresso, we wake up our minds every Monday with a robust shot of truth. Let's dig deep in the Word of God as we get to know our God better together. Let's challenge our view of the world as we take apart conventional politics with a fine-toothed comb. See all that Truthspresso has to offer by going to www.truthspresso.com. And by the way, Truthspresso is now a member podcast of the growing family of the Christian podcast community. Check out other faith-building shows at christianpodcastcommunity.org, hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries.
Did we go anywhere? The land all looks the same.
We're roughly the same place, over Israel, but in a slightly different location.
Now this is more in line and where we might find Nathan.
That big lake is so pretty from up here.
It's the Sea of Galilee. We're still on a slow glide to land, as well as catching up in time.
It's like one of those time-lapse movies, where you can see flowers open in fast motion.
It's how we can keep from being seen.
Exactly.
I know it.
It also is the right way to fly this thing and avoid crash landing it all the time.
I know you're not talking to me.
Oh look, the people have gathered at the foot of the mountain. Look at how many there are.
You know, as we can find it in Matthew's gospel, it was only the day before this that Jesus heard that his relative, John the Baptist, was killed. David, what are you doing?
I'm bored. Like I said, your voice is boring. Blah, blah, blah.
Verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities.
Who is that guy?
It's J. Vernon McGee.
Isn't he a dead guy? How is it possible to tune him in on the radio?
David, consider the fact that we're all visiting the time, centuries before any of us were born.
We're retrobots. We weren't born.
David, do you want me to darken your optical receptor?
Huh.
That means she's going to punch your lights out if you don't behave. Since you have the radio on, turn it back up for us so we can hear it.
He went by ship across the Sea of Galilee, but the crowd went around the shore walking. It reveals how popular he was with the crowd.
For people who have been following our Truth Exposed series, you may find a parallel to John's gospel that Jesus came to this area and healed a lot of people.
Then he fed the multitude, right?
Now, verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. He actually asked his disciples, really, what he should do. And their advice was, better send them into the villages. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. Now this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all four Gospels. It's the one miracle that is recorded. And for that reason alone, it's an important miracle, as you can see.
That's nice. But how is this helping to find Nathan?
He's a pastor, right?
Yes.
Well, it's simple. There is nothing that attracts a pastor like a huge potluck.
David, would you stop it? Now, it's kind of hard to tell if he's really down there. Look at all those colors down there on that grassy plain.
I know. It's so beautiful.
Out there on that green grass, and these people wore colorful clothes. Here would be one group, they'd have on red, another brown, another blue, another orange, and purple. And a great deal of purple, I imagine. The dye was in that area. What a sight it would have been to have been over on the other hill and to have looked over on this hillside to see that. Looked like one of these old-fashioned quilts, I imagine. What a picture we have.
Hey, isn't that him? That round guy with the shiny head, running down towards the lake.
I can't really tell. It's starting to get too dark.
He just got on that fishing boat with a bunch of other guys.
The disciples.
Did anybody see Jesus go with them?
Yeah, he sent the disciples and the crowd away, and then he ran up that mountain.
The sun is setting. How will Jesus be able to find them, or follow them in the dark?
I don't think that's what Jesus wants right now. He went up the mountain alone to pray.
Oh, excuse me.
What was that?
It's a storm alert.
And it's about to break over the mountain range.
When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The picture that's before us, he's up yonder in the mountain, in the place of prayer. They are down on the Sea of Galilee in a storm and in darkness, and they are in the place of peril.
The disciples are rowing straight into the wind.
They aren't getting very far, only about halfway across the lake.
I know we're seeing this in time lapse, but it seems they should be farther. The sun will be up in a couple hours.
And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. In the fourth watch, he came to them. Now, that's the morning watch. That is from 3 a.m. until daylight. And that's the watch that he's coming at the sunrise.
Look down there. Do you see that faint glow?
It's too dark. How do you expect me to?
David, night vision goggles. Have you ever heard of those?
They come as standard equipment on Retrobots. Do you want me to click them on for you?
Yes, if you don't mind. What was that for? You may have everybody else fooled, but I know about your mean streak.
Look down there on the lake. Tell me what you see.
It's a boat full of men.
They're all pointing.
And what are they pointing to?
It's a ghost.
It's Jesus.
It's the divine Son of God.
Now, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," for they cried out for fear. This is the picture. He's up there, and he saw them, as Mark says, toiling and rowing. We're going to come to this in the other Gospels, and I'll go into a little more detail there. But the important thing here is that he saw them, but he came to them in the fourth watch. And when they saw him, they said, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear.
The disciples thought they saw a ghost, a phantasm, but it was Jesus. Now, he was quick to comfort them, and they were glad.
"Look at that idiot. He's standing up in the boat. He's going to fall, and he has to be Nathan Caldwell. Leave it to him to fall overboard."
"No, just watch. It's not Nathan. I think we might need to..."
"That man. He stepped over the side. He's walking."
"He's crazy. It has to be Nathan. Who would do such a thing with those waves? And that wind is relentless."
"David, think about this. A man walking on the water."
"Right. It has to be Nathan. He's getting his feet all wet. Hasn't his mother taught him anything?"
"But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid.'" But notice, straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.'" This man has certainly been criticized for this. Well, I think that I'd rather admire the man. They say he shouldn't have asked this. Well, it was John Wesley said to expect great things of God, and I'm afraid many of us are satisfied with little things. Notice, "And he said, 'Come.'" Our Lord didn't rebuke him for it. He told him to come.
David, you're missing the point. David, when was the last time you walked on water?
Never. Retrobots aren't programmed to swim. Besides, we would rust and sink like a boat anchor.
"And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." And I hear people say, "Well, this man failed." That's not the way my Bible has it here. It says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water. It says it here. I'm reading it. He did walk on the water. This is amazing. This man asked this tremendous thing. No wonder God could use him such a wonderful way afterward.
Oh my, speak of sinking. That man looked over at a wave, and now he's swimming like David.
Straight down, just like a retrobot.
I think that's the point, David. Retrobots, or even people, would tend to sink.
Now notice verse 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.'" You see that he got his eyes off of Jesus, but he walked on the water. "And when he did, he began to sink, and he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" That is the shortest prayer in the Bible.
If that guy was a retrobot, he would never have gotten himself in trouble like that.
Well, I'm glad that you're only a machine, because humans, like me and Nathan, we need to have a savior.
All my scans are complete. I don't detect the presence of Nathan Caldwell anywhere.
I don't think Nathan is here. I think we'd better just head home and try to find him there.
Can I drive us home?
Show off.
Sure, Callie. Set the dials and take us home.
The good news is Striving for Eternity would love to come to your church to spend 2 days with your folks, teaching them biblical hermeneutics. That's right, the art and science of interpreting scripture. The bad news is somebody attending might be really upset to discover Jeremiah 29:11 should not be their life verse. To learn more, go to strivingforeternity.org to host a Bible interpretation made easy seminar in your area.
I wonder where in the world Keith can be. I've been trying to get him for the last 15 minutes. Doesn't he realize we're supposed to record live today? Too bad I don't have any retrobots. Maybe then we could go looking for him. Huh. Wonder if Dr. Flott is busy.
Visit life-truth.com where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, AST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.